You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. Before I start on today's story that I'm going to be covering, and this is going to be in the news really all through this week, and I debated whether or not to do it today, there's going to be a big vote in the House probably Thursday on the House Speaker's version of the repeal and replace of Obamacare. And there's a lot of opposition amongst conservatives, libertarians, classical liberals, people that are true believers in the free market and want the government to leave the free market alone rather than to dictate, in this case to the health insurance industry, what should be in plans and how they should operate. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be some regulation, but the problem we're in is it's too much regulation. That's the problem that Obamacare is. They thought they knew best, and they royally screwed this up. Remember, no Republican voted for Obamacare, yet they have no one but themselves to blame, the Democratic Party, and they designed it to fail. That's what's even more frustrating. It was designed to fail because what they really wanted was a government monopoly and control over your health care. They call it by a universal plan or a single-payer plan. It's control over you. If they control your health care, they gotcha. And that's what they're about. They're a bunch of control freaks, power freaks, and they ram this Obamacare, the Patients Protection and Affordable Care Act. It did the exact opposite of it. They knew they couldn't tell you the truth, so they lied to you, and they lied to you. And they were caught in their lies. And I knew it was going to fail. And it did, because premiums went up, up, and up. Deductibles went up, up, and up. People are complaining. And they have a right to complain, because most people were satisfied with their health insurance that they had, both with the doctor, the hospital they could go to, and the plan that they had. Now, you'll get various estimates, but you need to be clear what we're talking about. Most people today get their health coverage through their employer, a group plan. For very large corporations, it's actually the corporation that's funding it. They might have an insurance carrier administer the plan or the payments. But for small, medium-sized companies, a small group is typically 2 to 9, a larger group is 10 to 50, and then once you get somewhere between 50 and 100, you get different type plans where, like I said, the corporation will fund most of it and might have a catastrophic plan for in case of a very, very large claim. These are all details. But what happened with Obamacare is the government bureaucrats and politicians got together with the executives of the very large insurance companies, and this is big business, and they designed and replaced the existing health insurance, I want to say industry or sector. and they mandated. That means they dictated to you and me. Mandate sounds nice. It's not nice. It's the government telling you what you got to do. And they were telling young people, you got to buy health insurance. Obamacare was all about forcing young people, 18 to really 30, to buy health insurance because that is the one group that doesn't buy it unless it's provided for them through their employer. And the reason why they don't buy it, they don't see a need for it. And they're largely correct. Usually when young people start to be very interested in health insurance is when they marry and they want to have children and they're concerned about not only doctors' care for themselves, but also for their children or future children. And suddenly health insurance becomes a priority where previously, especially if they were single, it wasn't. So you cut through all the BS. It was to sock it to the young people, force them to buy health insurance that most of them can't afford, and to subsidize who? Older people and sicker people. That was the great plan. Now, I thought before it went to the Supreme Court that this forcing people with their own money to buy something is unconstitutional. I still maintain this. I think Supreme Court Justice Roberts sold out. Somebody got to him. Some way, somehow, they got to him. And he'll have to live with that. Said it was a tax. Well, what's interesting, I was saying it was a tax, but the Obama administration wasn't. But suddenly, they saw the light. The American people are in rebellion today. They're sick and tired of both Democrats and Republicans, career politicians, telling the people what to do. They resent it, they reject it, and they're voting politicians out of office that are arrogant enough to say, we know best and we're going to tell you what to do, and you're just to sit down and shut up. And one reason Donald Trump is president today is there was a revolt by the American people. They had it with the Democratic Party and their dictates, and they really had it with the Republican Party. You keep on electing them and they don't do anything. If anything, they're largely rollover Republicans. The Democrats say roll over, and the Republicans say how many times? People need to understand there are a lot of politicians, they call themselves largely today Republicans, in the past you had Democrats, that said they were conservatives, said they were for limited government, said they were for balanced budgets. That's what they said. But then they got to Washington and they quickly sold out. To get along, they went along and they followed the dictates, the wishes of the leadership. Today, we have two political parties that are big government parties, and they think they know best. The American people have made it very, very clear they want Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. What a joke. Repealed. Now, not hard to understand, and people ran on that. I always get a kick. Well, what are we going to replace it? Actually, you don't have to replace it with anything. Well, what do you mean? If you repeal it, no more mandate. In other words, you're not forcing young people, and really it was forcing everybody to buy it. But again, most people get it through their employer. The people that were forced to buy it, that are individuals, small firms, mom and pop, think of it as that type business, that bought individual coverage. See, I was in the financial services industry for over 20 years. And I sold both investment products as well as insurance products. Depended very much on what the client's needs were at a point in time, and that obviously changed over time. Individual coverage, health insurance coverage, especially good ones, and there were then, I don't know about now, I've been out of the business over 10 years, retired from the business. But if you wanted to purchase, you could get an excellent plan. You were going to spend more than if it was in a group plan. But more importantly, you were going to have to answer some questions, health questions. Because ladies and gentlemen, insurance companies are not the government. They're not a charity. They're a business. Insurance is pooling of risk. So if you are selling individual coverage, you need to protect yourself against what? People that have a serious health condition, so-called pre-existing condition. What are we talking about here? People that have cancer. People have had heart attacks, strokes, and some other conditions. But those are the three biggies. You don't get that medical condition and then, I think I'll go and buy some health insurance, because I'll tell you what happens. You fill out the application, and I always sent it into underwriting. I wasn't going to underwrite, but I knew what the answer is going to be. If you've had a heart attack, you've had cancer, you've had strokes, you're not getting the coverage. It's like, I had an automobile accident. I'm going to buy car insurance, and then they're going to pay me. Grow up. It doesn't work that way. You buy it to protect yourself against future risk, an occurrence, in this case, of a serious medical condition. That's why people are buying this. I'm emphasizing this for a reason. You need to understand that the numbers are hard to get a firm number on, but about 20 million Americans purchase individual coverage. Now, that's down because of Obamacare. And most of the companies have withdrawn because, what they wanted companies to do is what's called guaranteed issue. You fill out the paperwork, pay the premium, you have the insurance. It never worked that way in the individual market prior to Obamacare for a reason, a very good reason. Would you, if you were an insurance company, if someone came to you wanting medical insurance and you asked them a series of questions and it's clear that they have serious health problems and they're going to have them again, they're probably going to have another heart attack, maybe another stroke, and a cancer could come back. Would you insure them? The answer is no. A little common sense here, just a little bit. But there are some idiots that think, makes sense to me. Doesn't make sense. Now, what happens? A question comes up. Well, what about the people that have all those problems? Well, you got a couple of possibilities. One, they could be working for a company, a large company, that offers group coverage. When I saw group coverage, there were few, if any, medical questions. You enroll people, but we didn't ask questions of the individuals. Why? We're pooling risk. And invariably, depending on the number of employees, in any given year, only a small percentage of the people are going to have significant claims. Some years, none. So you get a pooling of risk. To keep it simple, you have 100 people working for a company, and one of them has a serious illness, maybe a heart attack, cancer, whatever, and has major claims, thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. You'll have 50, 60, 70 that have either zero claims, in other words, no illness, no going to the doctor, or very small claims. So that's the idea of risk, is the companies would be paying a premium every month based on the number of employees in the group. And then every year you'll get a renewal. And part of that renewal will reflect the experience of the group, whether they had many claims, which would be unusual, or a normal experience. So some years you'll have a small percentage increase, some years a larger. And typically what companies will do, they'll shop it, or they'll change the deductible. Most businesses want to offer their employees, especially if they're owned by the people running the company, want coverage. They want good coverage first for themselves and then for their employees. That's the typical situation. And usually they'll pay it for the employee and require some kind of split. If they have dependents, a wife or children, the employee might have to pay a percent of that premium. But it's a competitive marketplace, and I would get quotes from a number of carriers, and I would try to make sure that I got the best companies I could. But the name of the game was competition, and that's what we need. Competition, by driving down prices, and that's what you want, makes health insurance affordable. Not government dictates as to what to be in the plan. We're about to repeal Obamacare. There's a general consensus that people don't want this. It's failing. Now, why is it failing? Because the young people, guess what? They didn't roll. Even with tax penalties, they said, nope, not going to do it. I can't afford it. Don't want to do it. I have better things to do with my money. I'm not going to do it. See, that was the Achilles heel of this Obamacare. They thought they could ram it down the people's throats and the American people wouldn't revolt. Well, they revolted. They didn't buy it. Now you're saying, they could be hit with a penalty. They said, try to collect it. That's what you get when you have tyrants, dictators in the White House and in Congress dictating as to what you should do with your hard-earned money. It's not that people don't want health insurance, but like everything else, they they have budgets. And they have other things that they have to have first. One is a roof over their head, food on their table, clothing on their back. And in a modern industrial nation, they need transportation. If public transportation isn't available, they have to have a car. And cars require insurance, gasoline, maintenance. These are all necessities of life. Without a car, they can't get to their job. If they can't get to the job and are unemployed, they can't pay their rent or pay for food. Oh, yeah, they can go on welfare, but today, still the majority of Americans, not all, they don't want to go on welfare. They want to earn a living. They want to be independent of the government. Now, that's changing. Sad to say, it is changing. I don't think Ryan Care or Obamacare Light or Trump Care, however you want to call it, I don't think it's going to pass the House. Could be wrong. But there are a group of conservatives in the House of Representatives in the Senate, as well as libertarians, classical liberals. Unfortunately, there's not enough of them that don't favor what I'm calling Ryan Care or Obamacare Light, the House version of the replacement. It's not that the House version doesn't have many provisions that I agree with, and so do these conservatives. But we want to get back to a system that most people were happy with, satisfied with. You're never going to get 100%. But we have busybodies, career politicians, bureaucrats, that want to tell the American people what they have to buy, what's in their plan. Not only do they tell you have to buy a plan, they told you what had to be in the plan. And as a result of doing that, the American people quickly found out the premiums were much higher and the deductibles were much higher. Didn't surprise me. If insurance companies are forced to take everybody, including people that have pre-existing conditions, all the people that have that will be the first one knocking on the doors to get the coverage. Insurance actuaries call that adverse selection. The people that have a medical problem, a medical condition, a serious one, know they need health insurance. And usually, whatever they're paying in premiums, the usual situation, they get back several times, some cases many times, what they pay in premiums. So the sicker people, the people that have, quote, the pre-existing conditions, you better believe they're going to want insurance. And that causes problems because you're not dealing with insurance anymore. It's really a welfare program. Because the question is, what do you do with the people that have pre-existing conditions? Well, I'll tell you what. State of Texas had a special risk pool. So if you're in a situation, you're not covered by a group, and you try to get individual coverage and couldn't, you'd go to the state pool. And it was not cheap. That's what you should do to handle it. It's not really, quote, an insurance problem. It's how you're going to do subsidize, and that's what we're talking about, subsidize welfare, subsidize those that have pre-existing conditions and can't afford the price of a policy, assuming you can get it. And we're still debating this. They're going to have to either go back to that type of system or handle it at a federal level, but they need to get it out of the debate on insurance. It has to be addressed. I'm not saying ignore it. You got to get back to first principles. It has to be insurance, not what you're going to do with people that have serious health problems. And let's face it, you can't buy it. You know, and some of these cases, these people are going to die, and they're going to die within a short period of time. And I always would tell people the biggest insurance claims you're going to have is in your last year of your life. I don't know when that's going to be, but that's actuarially what they found, looking at histories. That's where the big claims are. And it's usually when you're older, when you start having your heart attacks, your strokes, your cancers. And many of those people die. Or it's a chronic condition, and they linger for years and run up big bills. But it's in that last year that they're trying to save your life, and they do everything that they're capable of. And the bills run into tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't buy insurance then. If you're prudent, you have bought insurance all your life to deal with this situation. Now, where am I on this? I'm with the Freedom Caucus, by the way, the House Freedom Caucus, but they're supporters in the Senate. They're primarily conservatives, libertarians, classical liberals, that want to get back to a free market system for health insurance where the government is not telling insurance companies what they must include in their plans. That's one of the major drivers of why the premiums went up. Compare it to buying a car. I drive a small car for a lot of reasons. One is I don't drive very much anymore. At one time, I really racked up the miles. I probably drive less than 6 or 7 miles a day, round trip. In a year, I'm lucky if I put on 2,000 miles in a car. Now, that sounds strange to some people. Talk to older people that are retired. They need a car to go to the grocery store, the post office, shopping, movies. But they're not driving to work every day. They're not in sales and driving all around Texas or all around Dallas. It's a pattern that talk to people that sell cars and who drives the least. It's usually people that are older and no longer working. I bring that up because that is a determining factor in what type of car I'm going to drive. I don't need the latest and greatest newest car. I've had this car 5 years. I know as of today, I have about 10,600 miles. I'll be lucky if I have 12,000 miles after 5 years. I leased the car for 3 years and then bought it. The dealer, it was 12,000 miles a year. I haven't even used the first year. That's why I'm going to keep the car. I use it for basic transportation. I'm not trying to impress anybody, a client, or anybody. I like the car. Is it the car I want? No, it isn't. And it's not my last car. But I'm telling you this because everyone has specific needs and wants. Some people must have the latest model car. And as a result, they're either leasing or buying a car every 2 or 3 years and spending a lot of money on it. And some of them get a lot of usage. There's a case to be made for leasing or not. I'm not getting into that other than to say everyone has different needs, wants, preferences. And they also have a different budget. There is no one car that fits everybody. Why do you think there's one insurance plan, health insurance plan that fits anybody? There isn't. There simply is not. And that was the mistake these central planners, these social engineers, that people that won't mind their own business, that think they know best, want to dictate to the American people. And surprise, the American people are pushing back. And they're voting out of office Democrats and Republicans that are trying to jam it down their throats. Enough is enough. And if you don't get the message the first time, we'll vote you out. We're patient. You see, I'm a big believer in one, competition, and two, consumer sovereignty. The consumer is king, not the government, not a bureaucracy, not the state, not industry, the consumer. And if you want to make a fortune, sell a product or service that is competitively priced, good quality, that meets the needs and wants of the American people, you'll make a lot of money. And the way you keep them honest is competition, the marketplace. Don't try to say, we know best. Here's what you must have. Excuse me, you don't even know me. How dare you do that? But that's what these bureaucrats and politicians did. And they're paying a price, and the Republicans are not much better. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. They're both big government parties. They've lost touch with the people. And they don't like competition either. But I have a news bulletin for them. The American people are getting sick and tired of this two-party tyranny. Frickin' frack. Paper or plastic. Democrat or Republican. The American people work hard for their money. They want to buy health insurance that they can afford. That requires competition in the marketplace. And it requires the government to leave the insurance companies alone. Now, some of you will quickly say, and I know what you're going to say, well, there's some bad apples in the insurance industry. Oh, yeah, they are. And they quickly get a reputation, usually for not paying claims. But if you check, you got to read the fine print. You get what you pay for. That's another way to say it. Now, you need to be careful here. Just because you're paying a lot for any product doesn't mean you're getting value for it. You got to do your homework. You got to check people out. You got to check companies out. But 80 to 85% in any industry, they're going to live up to the contract with you. Why? It's in their interest to do it. They don't want to get a bad reputation. If anything, they want a reputation. We're going to pay the claims, and our coverage is the best out there. See, there are companies that will cherry pick the benefits. And that's why prior to Obamacare, you still had state regulation of insurance companies. See, insurance companies not only had to get themselves approved to do business in a state, if they had a product, it also had to be looked at. And some states did better jobs than others. It's the old buyer beware. But you're the buyer, and you should determine what, first of all, you can afford. Oh, yeah, I would like to have maybe a Bentley or a Maybach, the Mercedes top-of-the-line car. That's over $300,000. There are not many people buying those cars. There'll always be a special high-end market for the rich, the super rich, the truly wealthy. There's always that market, whether it's a car, a yacht, an apartment, a house. The problem is it's a limited market. There are only a lot fewer people that can afford that. You know, the joke is if you have to ask the price of a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce, or for that matter, a Cadillac, you can't afford it. You probably can't even afford the insurance, not to mention the gasoline. It gets back to my point. If you truly want to be successful and wealthy in the country, sell a product or service that appeals to the masses and it's priced accordingly. We need to get government out of the health insurance business. They don't want to get back out of the health. The Democrats don't. They're not lining up to repeal Obamacare. You see, they dictated to you and me, and now they're paying a price. Now, let me quickly say, if someone is giving you something for free, many people become dependent on that. And that has been, unfortunately, for both political parties, how they try to get votes. I call it Santa Claus socialism. Vote for me, and I'm going to give you some free stuff. There are always going to be moochers out there. People that don't work, can work, don't work. And they're looking for free stuff. And free stuff includes health insurance. And they got a party. Actually, I think they have two parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. I want my free stuff. I want my Obamacare. I want my Obama phone. I want my Obama apartment. Where's my free stuff? I'll vote for you, but you got to give me my free stuff. No, the American people have had it with that. But there's at least 15-20% that expect free stuff. Now, we have a name for it, welfare in this country, or income security. It's welfare. We also have entitlements. I'm entitled to that. You know, I tell people, if you're concerned about having health insurance and having medical bills paid for by insurance, then by God, get a job and either buy the coverage, individual coverage, or work for a company that has the coverage you like. See, I think the biggest problem, I don't say it's a big problem, but I can see where you can work for a company that provides you, for example, health insurance, but it's not the best coverage. And usually it's not the best coverage because they're wanting to stick it to you. It's because that's what they can afford. There's no free lunch and there's no free health insurance, even if the employer is providing it to you. Because if the employer is providing it to you, he's not giving you. That costs money. And actually, truth be known, many of them would rather give you the money and go buy it yourself. See, it always puzzled me, not very long, but I knew why. Does your employer buy you clothes? No. Does the employer buy you an apartment, car? No. They give you a check. It's up to you to decide how you're going to allocate that limited budget amongst what you need. Why is health insurance so special? Now, the history is, and this is a valuable lesson here, whenever the government or the state intervenes, what you see is a pattern of intervention after intervention after intervention to solve the problems that they create. We were in World War II. We had wage and price controls, government intervention into the economy, setting prices and wages. And because of that, employers to attract labor, because remember, about over 10 million went into the army to many of them, almost 400,000 got killed. I take that back. I'm not sure how many died in World War II, but they were hundreds of thousands, and many got wounded. The problem was there was a shortage of labor, and what happened then? Then suddenly the labor participation rate of women shot up. But they also were trying to attract men. So they couldn't increase the wages, but they could provide them with health care, an insurance plan. And that's what happened. And as a result of that, the history is a legitimate tax deduction is the expense that employers pay for health insurance. And that's why today most companies provide you with health insurance. And if we had a truly competitive market, you know, I would prefer to buy my own. But a lot of people will just accept what they have. It's understandable. It's the easy way. It must be okay because everybody that works here has the same coverage. And to be fair, 80-90% of the people are satisfied with it. And I don't see that changing anytime soon, unless we go to a broad-based consumption tax, and that's another show, and do away with the income tax system, including the deductions. And then, and see, that's the way I would go. But that's, I've given that show several times. We need to go to a fair tax or a fair tax less, a broad-based consumption tax. Do away with all federal income taxes, individual, corporate, estate, gift, alternative minimum, capital gains, which means your gross paycheck would be your paycheck. And then you take your gross paycheck, no more deductions, no more, you know, payroll taxes for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, disability, gone. And no more withholding. Your paycheck, gross paycheck, would be your paycheck. And then you buy what you want. And if you're halfway intelligent and have common sense, you'll buy some form of health insurance if you're responsible. Some people are simply not responsible. They smoke themselves to death. They drink themselves to death. They use drugs. They eat themselves to death. They don't exercise. And then they get health problems. And then it's everyone's responsibility to deal with their own problems that they didn't take seriously. What you need and what the United States needs today is people taking responsibility for their lives and not expecting other people, including the government, to take care of them. In other words, if you're going to fall for that Santa Claus socialism, you're going to be disappointed. Governments fail. So do companies, but governments fail. If you are depending on the government to take care of you, you're ultimately going to be hurt by the government. You got to take care of yourself and your immediate family. And that's a hard lesson to learn, and some people never learn it. I'm giving you this show because I don't know what the Republican Party and Donald Trump will ultimately sign in terms of a repeal of Obamacare and what they're going to replace it with. But the American people are expecting, and at least the Freedom Caucus understands this, and I even think the people that are pushing, like Paul Ryan, understands this. You better reduce premiums. You better have an economic environment that encourages, first of all, insurance companies to lower the deductibles so that people can buy a plan that they can afford. That means you're going to have to stop dictating to insurance companies what has to be in the plan. Let the people decide what they want and what they will pay for. Mind your own business. Let the American people decide what they want to buy and how much they want to pay. It was working fine until the Democrats see the way they try to pressure you. You know, what was the mantra, if you will, prior to Obamacare, during when he was running? There are 40 million people that don't have insurance. There are 40 million people that don't have insurance. Now, note, they said health insurance, not health care. They don't have insurance. Now, I quickly said, well, about at least 10 million are illegal immigrants. We're not going to pay for them. That brings it down to about 30 million. There are at least 10 to 15 million that are between jobs. They will get covered shortly. There's another 10 to 15 million that can afford it, but they're not going to buy it. Usually young people. Typically, maybe 5 to 10 million people truly can't afford it. They're poor. They don't earn enough. Now, during a recession, and we were hit with a recession, that number goes up. So instead of 5 to 10 million typically, you have 15 million or more. But once the economy comes back, and usually it's anywhere from 6 to 18 months in a typical recovery, longer in this one, mainly because of Obamacare. You're always going to have people that are poor, not mainly on welfare, dependent on the government. But what haven't I mentioned? Medicaid. That's the program that your government started with LBJ, 65, 66. It's a program for the poor, the indigent, and most of them, at least then, were truly needy. That is welfare. And it's not the best of coverage. And don't think of it as insurance coverage. It's the government pays for it. But if you qualify and there's some income requirements, you first have to find a doctor that will take you, and it's not the best care. There are waits. And if you truly need a specialist, you're probably going to be out of luck for the simple reason the people that are the best in any field, they're not going to give it away. Now, some will, but most won't. There's only a limited amount of hours, 2,000 to 3,000 typically, that they'll work. And they have a long list of people that want their services, that can pay for it or have insurance. So they don't take the poor. They refuse to take Medicare. Excuse me, I got to correct myself quickly. Medicaid. Unfortunately, increasingly, they don't accept Medicare as well. Don't confuse the two. Medicare is for people that are 65 or older that have qualified for it, and part of their medical bills, mainly their hospital bills, are paid through Medicare. Doesn't pay everything, though, because that's why most people have a Medicare supplement if they can afford it, and that's not cheap. So we're always going to have the poor. The poor will always be with us, and they will have medical conditions. And their big bills, like everyone else, will be when they're older, especially in the last year of their life. So we think of Medicaid for the poor, which it is, but a large percentage of that are older people. They're of all ages. Because you have people that are in nursing homes that can't take care of themselves. It's not insurance. It's a government providing a subsidy, either direct to the individual or direct to the state, who in turn gives it to the medical providers that provide the care. You need to keep them separate. Democrats would like to mix them up. See, my frustration is most people that are working, and that's most people, if they really want, not necessarily the best, but adequate, satisfactory, average health insurance, can afford it and can buy it themselves. They don't because they work for someone that provides it for them. It's part of their total benefit package is the way to look at it. Part of your total compensation. You break it out. It's your wage or salary. It's your benefits, and that benefits includes insurance, health insurance, retirement, number of days you have off, holidays, and it's a competitive market. You see, the reason I'm for competition, let's say you don't like where you work and you don't like their medical plan, they don't have a retirement plan, well, then find a company that you would like to work for and try to get a position with them and try to keep it. See, employers are in competition with other employers to attract and retain and reward people. Because to the extent that they can do that, they can be successful in selling their products and services. I'm trying to make a key point here. The answer is not government. The answer is competition. The answer is not a government or a government monopoly. That is the wrong way to go. And we want to leave as much as possible in the private sector. And the government needs to stay out. But you see, politicians, career politicians, want to make you dependent on them. Vote for me, and I'll give you some free stuff. It's not free. You pay for it. And you pay very dearly for it, not only in terms of taxes, but in loss of your freedom. Good intentions are not enough. Results matter. What's sickening is there are people that are very, I love Obamacare. I get my subsidy. I got my card. I'm subsidized. I don't have to pay a thing. I got my car. Get sick. What you soon find out, there's a deductible. You're going to have to pay the deductible.
What do you mean?
These plans, even if you're subsidized, they're deductibles, $3,000, $5,000 or more. What you should be concerned about is having excellent coverage, health, medical, hospital coverage. See, insurance is just a way to finance it. That should be your objective, and the problem there is the costs are going up, up, and up. The only one that even rivals it is the cost of a college education. And what's the common problem? You want competition, and you do have it, but you want price competition where you know what the prices are. Go to a doctor's office and ask, how much does this procedure cost? I don't know. Now, everything else you buy, usually, you know what the price of it is. You might have to ask, but they know what it is. You see, whoever pays the bill, and in the United States today, it's either the insurance company or the federal government, and to a lesser extent, the state government. They make the rules. They call the tune in the healthcare area. Anything else, it's you. If you don't like the product or service, you take your business elsewhere. And that's what you should do. Walk. If you go to a restaurant and the service is lousy, don't come back. Or if you thought the food was good, try them again, but if the service is lousy, you leave and you don't come back. See, if you want to succeed in business, you have to take care of your customers. The customer is king. The consumer is king. The consumer is sovereign. Not the government. And that requires competition. It also requires the government to mind its own business, to stay out. You know, the ideal system, the individual would buy his own health insurance. He knows what he can afford. He knows what is of concern for him, and he makes sure that the health insurance plan covers that specific area. And if it does, if he doesn't, or they're not, they try to get out of paying claims, take your business elsewhere. Compete it. I used to do it all the time. I would get the best coverage, but many times you have a group of people and you had several people that no fault of their own, but they had serious medical problems, and insurance company is a business and you're going to see it in your rates. There's no free lunch. The answer is not a government-dictated health insurance sector. And apparently the Republicans in the leadership, while they intellectually understand that, they are not for a clean repeal of Obamacare. That is what the American people want, and that's what the Republicans voted for time and time again. And now, with the president a Republican, they're not doing it. And the American people are saying, by God, if you don't deliver, and by deliver, I mean repeal Obamacare and have the premiums go down, the deductibles go down, and we have a choice of plans, doctors, hospitals. We're going to throw you out of office. I don't care if you're Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, or any of the other House leadership. We'll primary you. But what they really should be doing is starting a new political party, because I'm telling you something, until you have competition politically, which means 3, 4, 5 viable parties, nothing much is going to change in D.C. They're in love with the status quo because they're servicing, they're bought and paid for. So it's the donor class that is determining what ultimately gets passed. Now, I'm hoping that RyanCare goes down to defeat, unless they decide to truly listen to the House Freedom Caucus as well as the Senate. Now, this is going to be part one of a two-part show. I wanted you to hear what some of your representatives, these are the good guys and gals. There was a rally in Washington, D.C. And for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And if you do, I'm going to play excerpts from a video. It's the second video down. I was going to explain. Well, let me back up. Before I play this rally and some of the speakers and some of the leaders, people I agree with that are fighting Paul Ryan and the Republican leadership and the president on this. And let me again emphasize, there's a lot of good things in the RyanCare bill. I'm not saying that, but, and it's a big but, it's Obama light. They're not going to result in lower premiums or lower deductibles. But before I get into this, and I was debating whether to explain this, but fortunately, I found a short video, and this is something you need to understand. Now, for most people, they could care less how the Senate is run, how the House is run, how Congress is run. But you need to at least have the basics down of what is budget reconciliation and why is it important in terms of how Obamacare has to be repealed. So I found a short video that explains it.
Led by President Donald Trump, Republicans have promised to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They have control of both houses of Congress and the White House, but they still have one big obstacle in that effort. In the Senate, opponents could stage a filibuster, the right of the minority to try to talk a bill to death and keep senators from voting. It takes 60 votes to stop a filibuster. Republicans have a majority, but only 52 seats. And Democrats say they won't help take apart the health law they voted to pass 7 years ago. Instead, Republicans are vowing to use a budget procedure called reconciliation. It comes from a 1974 law called the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act. Lots of major health laws have been passed using reconciliation, including those guaranteeing the right to emergency room care, creating the Children's Health Insurance Plan, and allowing private plans as an alternative to traditional Medicare coverage. Here's how reconciliation would work. First, Congress has to pass a budget resolution. That budget document has to be agreed on by the House and Senate, but it doesn't go to the president for his signature. The budget resolution does two main things. First, it sets spending targets for federal programs Congress funds every year. Those are known as appropriations. But there's also programs funded by the federal government that don't need annual approvals from Congress. These include tax cuts or increases, and so-called entitlement programs like Medicare and Medicaid. So the budget resolution also instructs the congressional committees in charge of those programs to propose changes in the law that would reconcile how much those programs cost with the target set by the budget. This is what Republicans will use to order changes to the Affordable Care Act. When the committees report back their proposed changes, they're assembled into a budget reconciliation bill. In the Senate, budget reconciliation has its own special rules that make it easier to pass. Debate is strictly limited, and the bill only needs a simple majority to pass. But there are limits, too. Budget reconciliation bills can only change things that directly impact the federal budget, either adding to or reducing federal spending. For the Affordable Care Act, that means Congress could use budget reconciliation to eliminate spending, like the help people get to pay for their premiums, or funding to the states to expand the Medicaid program for the poor. It can also repeal the taxes that help pay for those benefits, including the tax penalties for individuals who fail to have insurance. But Congress can't use reconciliation to change parts of the health law, like provisions requiring insurance companies to provide certain benefits or sell coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. Those don't directly affect federal spending. That has led insurance companies to complain that they'll go broke if they still have to sell to sick people, but healthy people won't have any incentive to get covered. In that case, they say, only sick people will buy insurance and premiums will skyrocket. And the new Republican Congress seems set on using the technique to take apart the health law. Whether that's a good idea may depend on whether you favor or oppose the Affordable Care Act.
I think I've made it abundantly clear. I do not favor at all the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly referred to as Obamacare. I knew it was going to fail. It was designed to fail. It is failing. It's a disaster. It was a bad idea. Good intentions are not enough. What you need is competition, not government monopoly, and you don't have it. What the Democratic Party wanted was the government to control your health care, where the government was the entity, the organization that pays for it. Similar to what Canada and Europe had. The American people think we can do better. And many people in those countries go to other countries when they truly need the care or buy insurance. You see, it looks very attractive, these government-paid plans, especially for what I call the small stuff that you can afford, I can afford. The doctor's visits, the small bills. But where do you find the rationing? Where do you find the lines? Where do you find the waits? It's the big stuff, the expensive procedures. Oh, yeah, it's free in Canada, but you might wait 3, 6, 9 months or longer, and you might be dead by the time you get the procedure or what you need. Like I said, there's no free lunch. Santa Claus socialism inevitably fails because it lacks the market discipline of competition, and people are not concerned with getting value for their expenditures. It gets back to whoever pays the bill can demand the services and will look for the better deal, price, procedure. When it's the government and the insurance company, you're not really a factor anymore. And that's what the Democratic Party and, unfortunately, many in the Republican Party want. They want to control you and me. They want to limit your freedom, your right to choose what you want to buy with your money. And they want to dictate what you have to buy. There's no such thing as free health care. The doctor has to be paid. The nurse has to be paid. The administrators have to be paid. Secretaries have to be paid. Your therapist has to be paid. All that costs money. You want costs to be controlled. That is the only way you're going to be driving down the cost of medical care, by having competition, and competition results in management trying to minimize cost. Ideally, they should want you to be healthy. And there are competitive models out there, a lot cheaper than Obamacare, where you pay so much a month, and they try to keep you healthy. Because if they keep you healthy, you're not in there. It might be years before they see you, other than an annual physical. But where it's perceived that a service or good is free, people overuse it. If they had to pay for it, would they? No, they consider it, well, I work, I get insurance, I'm going to use it. Like I said, this is going to be a two-parter. I want to play, there was a rally in Washington, D.C., put on by FreedomWorks, and I can't play the whole thing, and I'm going to somewhat skip around. It was a very cold day. These are people that truly want to repeal Obamacare, and they want to do it now. They're demanding that their elective representatives keep their promise of not only repealing Obamacare, but making sure that the price or cost of health insurance actually goes down, as do the deductibles. Let's listen to what they have to say.
We've got Senator Rand Paul who's going to follow me. Was anyone here in 2009 when we had the first event, first march? All right. Gee, I think to remember the topic back then was repealing and replacing Obamacare, right? I mean, that was just stopping it then. So, look, now we got to finish it. Like, I'm a big football fan. We're, like, at the five-yard line. The game's not over. We got to score, and this is our time to repeal Obamacare. But it is not going to happen unless you guys are doing what you're doing today and you're going and telling them in person. So over there is where Mitch McConnell works. When Mitch McConnell was running for re-election, his campaign theme was, we're going to tear up Obamacare root and branch, root and branch. So I'm looking at this crowd right now, and I believe we're here to help him keep his campaign promise. So please, folks, I appreciate you coming here. I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate your hard work. But please remember, Obamacare is not going to go down unless you guys help put it across the finish line. So with that, we're going to be bringing up, Andrew, you're going to be introducing?
That's the job, right?
All right.
That's what you brought me here
for. So thanks very
much
for coming and braving these temperatures.
I've been doing events with FreedomWorks for about 6 years, and one of the heroes of this movement has been a man who holds conservative, libertarian principles, and actually, unlike some of these guys that are just waiting to be told by Paul Ryan what to do, he actually came up with his own plan. So without further ado, Senator Rand Paul.
Hey, guys. You know what they're saying? You know what they're telling us? They're telling us that you campaigned for Obamacare Light and that you want partial repeal. They're telling us that you want to keep some of the Obamacare taxes. They're telling us that they want you... They're telling us that you want to keep the Obamacare subsidies. They're telling us that you want to keep the individual mandate. But it's worse. It's worse. They're telling you that instead of paying the government the mandate, they want you to pay a penalty if you lose your job or lose your insurance. They want you to pay a penalty to a billion-dollar insurance company. This bill is riddled from top to bottom with problems. basically, they admit that they're not going to fix the problem of rising insurance premiums, and that when the premiums continue to rise, the government will continue to pay you money to pay the insurance company money. This is not about you. It's about reimbursing a $1 billion insurance industry. So, there is a way that we completely change the equation. Right now, if each of you want to go and buy insurance and you're in a small business, when you get to the insurance company, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Kiss my boots. They tell you take it or leave it. But you know how we give you the power? We give you the power to join a group where you can get your insurance through a large buying group. How many people are in the NRA? All right, there's probably 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 million people in the NRA. What if we let you buy your insurance through the NRA? What if you had the head of the NRA call up the insurance company? You know what's going to happen? Instead of us kissing the boots of the insurance industry, they're going to bow down, get on one knee, and they're going to give us what we want. Good prices. When you get sick, you get kicked off. That only happens if you buy insurance as an individual. Let's let everybody join a group. We'll get lower prices. But you know what? It won't be a government mandate. It would be the marketplace working. It would be all of us joining together, and we would have the power to do this. The problem is this, though. The leadership in the House is weak-kneed, and they are afraid to lead with freedom and capitalism, so they're giving you something that's half as much as Obamacare but doesn't fix the problems. What we have to do is, the Freedom Caucus over there is 40 of the best conservative members. You're going to hear from some of them. You need to tell them you want them to stand firm. You want to bring down the Paul Ryan plan. And that what we want is freedom. We want to be free of Obamacare completely. The battle is just beginning. This is the very beginning of the battle, not the end of the battle. But I promise you, they will not negotiate until they discover they don't have the votes. When they discover they don't have our votes, but more importantly, they need to discover they do not have your votes. So when you go home, activate your email network. Call your neighbors. Tell them to call any of the weak-kneed Republicans that every damn one of us got out there and worked for, that we were not campaigning for Obamacare Lite. We don't want any of it. Thank you for everything you do. I will never forget that the first campaign rally that I ever went to was a Tea Party rally in my little town in Kentucky, and 800 people showed up. You have the power, but you have to be more vocal. They've forgotten how they got here. We won the House. We're in charge in the House because of you. They need to not forget that it was the Tea Party that put them in power. We don't want anything to do with Obamacare subsidies, taxes, mandates. We don't want to bail out the insurance companies. We want freedom to get lower prices and to buy the insurance we want for our families. I'll keep fighting. Hang in there.
I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. I will continue this in tomorrow's show. There are several outstanding speakers, including the head of the Freedom Caucus, as well as our own Texas Senator Ted Cruz. I'm for what Rand Paul just advocated. The way you get leverage with the insurance company is you're a large group. You're not an individual buying individual coverage. There it's take it or leave it the price. But if you're part of a very large group, whether that's thousands, millions, you're going to get a much better plan at a much better price. In other words, let the marketplace with competition and you have the freedom to choose what you want be the way to do this, not the government dictating and providing you subsidies because they want to control you folks. So thank you for listening. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll continue this. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.